I promise on my honor to be faithful and loyal to Ghana, my motherland. I pledge myself to the service of Ghana with all my strength and with all my heart. I promise to hold in high esteem our heritage won for us through the blood and toil of our fathers. And I pledge myself in all things to uphold and defend the good name of Ghana, so help me God.
Time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Samuel Issa
and Jonathan Thompson.
In the headlines, EC says duplicate serial numbers cannot affect validity of election results. Academia challenged to make research relevant to development and policy formulation. 5.4 million children nationwide targeted for 3-day polio immunization starting Thursday. Former President Rawlings decries level of greed in society as cadres mark 34 years of June 4 uprising today. Police Intelligence and Professional Standards Bureau to investigate alleged police excesses and the arrest of 40 land guards on Switchback Road. And International Criminal Court insists on prosecuting Kenyan president and vice. The news in detail. The chairman of the Electoral Commission, Dr. Kwajar Ferrijan, has told the Supreme Court hearing the election petition that same serial numbers in different polling stations have no effect on the validity of votes cast and declared. He said there is therefore no basis for the petitioners to claim that duplicate serial numbers constituted an irregularity, since it is the polling station code and name that are relevant in the identification of a polling station. Dr. Ferrijan also told the court that a classic case of overvoting is when the votes cast exceed the number of people eligible to vote at a particular polling station. He also touched on duplicate serial numbers on pink sheets and allegations of voting in unknown polling stations. Bubukli Nogo and George Asekere report.
It is on record that the serial number category of alleged irregularities has the highest number of votes that petitioners are seeking to annul, which is 2.6 million. Dr. Afarijan maintained that the EC uses the names and the codes in identifying polling stations and not serial numbers. He said in the event that the name or code of a polling station is wrongly spelled, there will still be a standard way of identifying the said polling station. On the allegation of voting in unknown polling stations, Dr. Farijan said there are 26,002 polling stations in Ghana, and he personally does not know all of them and believes no one can claim to know all the 26,002 polling stations. He said he has no problem if petitioners say they don't know some of the polling stations, but that does not mean they do not exist.
In the first instance, the petitioners talked about extra polling stations, which meant that there were additional, the 26,002 polling stations that everybody knew to be the number of polling stations for the presidential election. If this were so, the election results would have been collated on the basis of 26,002 plus. We have always maintained that the results were collated on the basis of 26,002 polling stations, and nobody has shown anything to the contrary. Now, for the extra, that was the extra description. They became known. Well, that is not strange to me. I do not know all the polling stations in this country. And I do not think that anybody knows all the polling stations in this country. So if you say some polling stations are unknown to you, I would understand it. But for me to say that some polling stations are unknown to me, not me.
Earlier, Dr. Afarijan gave a classical definition of overvoting to mean the practice where the number of ballot cast exceed the number of people registered to vote in a particular polling station. He said he has a problem with any definition of overvoting, which is limited to information on the pink sheet without reference to the primary document, which is the voter's register.
The classical definition of overvoting is where the ballot cast exceed number of persons eligible to vote at the polling station, or if you like, number of persons on the polling station register. New definitions have been introduced, two new definitions. There's nothing wrong with that. I have problems with these two new definitions that have been proposed. And the problem I have with both definitions is that they limit themselves exclusively to what is on the face of the pink sheet.
Just let's limit us. I heard you say it's an excess of voting or something.
Yes, when you see there will be an excess.
It will not be an over.
Yeah, how you call it. My lord, we have just seen an instance where on the face of the pink sheet, the presiding officer said he was giving 4 votes. Whereas in fact, upon closer scrutiny, he was giving 325 votes.
On voting without biometric verification, Dr. Farajan said that the matter could easily be settled with a printout from the biometric verification device. He was, however, denied the chance to tender in the printout.
It is a document that can be produced by anybody. The document as it is. One cannot say for sure that this is original information on the BVD. That is why if they were going to rely on it, they should have exhibited it for us to cross-check. Because, my lord, all the information on the BVD is based on software, which can be changed.
Surprise? There is no surprise. When they were saying that people were not biometrically verified, what did they mean other than verified by the machine? So there is no surprise. They know their machine is there, and they are saying it was not used.
72, majority, Atuguba and Akotobamfu, JJSC, dissenting, the objection is sustained.
A spokesperson of the NDC legal team, Nana Atudazi, described the decision of the court not to allow the tendering in of the pink sheet as strange. For her part, Madame Gloria Kufu says the decision is in the best interest of justice. Sitting continues.
Ubuku Inogo and George Asikri filed that report.
Now, away from the court, the second International Climate Change and Population Conference has opened at the University of Ghana, Lagos, where academic institutions are being challenged to make research relevant to development. Environment, Science, Technology and Innovation Minister Dr. Joe Otinyeje, who made the call, said academia have the capability to use research to influence policy, especially in challenges of climate change. Rebecca Ekwe has more.
Clearly, challenges posed by global warming and related climate changes are no longer mere potential threats, but an inevitable reality. The effects, impacts, and outcomes of climate change on development are not new, but increasing at faster rates. The second International Climate Change and Population Conference on Africa, hosted by the Regional Institute for Population Studies, RIPS, at the University of Ghana, is part of efforts to harmonize science with policy. Dr. Delali Dovi is the conference chair.
Definitely is trying to bring the whole continent together in terms of information sharing. And this conference is becoming a place for developmental discussion. Not only science, but here we have people coming from all spheres of life.
Environment, Science, Technology and Innovation Minister Dr. Otinyeje also spoke about climate change and its impact on society. While challenging academia to develop results that would influence policy, Dr. Otinyeje asked the universities to think about how to commercialize their research.
And for those of us in developing countries and Africa specifically, sometimes you wish that it doesn't rain. Because the moment it starts raining, it exposes our roots. We seem to be doing some maintenance by attaching with debt. So the rain comes in, washes away the debt. But the families are also having to ensure that we take care of the social concerns, grow the economy. To me, that is the challenge. How do you do your research work? It is research and development. It's not research to get titles called professors. You have the mental capacity to influence policies on climate change, which was developed with the help of most of the academia here, was finally approved by cabinet. I need you again to to look at the knowledge you have so that we can together have the implementation plans and actions.
The Climate and Development Knowledge Network in South Africa is supporting the RIPS conference. A representative of the network, Ronald Mukenya, says issues of climate change is indeed personal.
We've all heard about the flooding that happens in Mozambique. For me, I've been to Mozambique and sort of spoken to some of the people that were affected by those floods. These are the roots where my mom comes from. So in a way, I've got that personal attachment of how it has affected and impacted the lives of the people within Mozambique.
At the end of the Climate Change and Population Conference, partners are optimistic about raising a notch higher the impact of climate change risks and development at the crossroads and share lessons.
That was Rebecca Ekwe's report.
The Ghana Health Service will this Thursday begin immunizing children up to age 5 against polio. The 3-day program, which will begin from the 6th to 8th of this month, is targeting 5.4 million children across the country. The National Immunization Program Manager, Dr. Kwejo Ntriaje, tells Radio Ghana that the program has trained about 1,500 volunteers and supervisors to visit homes, marketplaces, and schools to administer the drugs. He said since 2009, there have been no reported cases of polio in Ghana. However, the immunization needs to be done to protect newly born babies. He spoke to Doreen Ampofu.
This year, the first round will be coming up from the 6th to the 8th of June 2013. That is coming Thursday to Saturday. In some places, because of some peculiar situation, we may have to start earlier and maybe end in some cases later than the Saturday. But generally, across the country, every child up to 5 years has to be vaccinated against polio.
Well, doctor, how many children are we targeting here?
We are targeting about 5.4 million children, and we have actually trained about 45,000 volunteers and 4,500 to carry out the exercise. The teams have been trained. They will be moving from house to house, and they will visit schools and marketplaces. And in each of these places, all eligible children, and that is 0 to 5 years, will be vaccinated. And children who are between 6 months and 5 years will, in addition to the polio vaccination, be dosed with vitamin D.
Now, doctor, you've said that this exercise was started around 1996. So now, what has been the success story of immunization?
Polio immunization has been very successful because we had the highest number of cases in 1998, where about 23 children were paralyzed by polio throughout the country. Since then, the figures have reduced. In 2003, we had our last indigenous case. So between 2003 and 2008, there were no reported cases of polio paralysis in Ghana. And then, unfortunately, in 2008, we had imported cases from Nigeria, and 8 children were affected, but all were in the northern region. But I'm happy to say that since 2008, November till now, there has been no case of wild polio virus in Ghana. But so long as our neighbors continue to have it, we need to continue to protect our children. Because it's only when we protect them that we can be sure that they will be protected against it.
Dr. Kwejo Ntriaje is the program manager of the National Immunization Program.
Former President Rawlings says the country is suffering from the effect of a dislocation between power and authority. According to him, too much power and money are in the hands of what he describes as a few rank people. Former President Rawlings expressed these sentiments during an interaction with 10 regional representatives of CADIS ahead of today's June 4 celebration. He said despite achievements of the Fourth Republic, there are many setbacks due to the greed of some leaders. Yaya Kwamwa has this report.
Principles underpinning the birth of June 4 are integrity, probity and accountability. Former President Rawlings challenged CADIS to reflect on the values of the June 4 revolution, which he noted are enshrined in the Constitution and the Coat of Arms. He said CADIS should not allow their conscience to be bought by money. According to him, the country is suffering from a dislocation of wealth by a few wrong people.
For more than a decade now, Ghana appears to have been moving towards an irreversible situation down a tunnel. We are suffering the effect of a dislocation between wealth, power, and authority. About too much power and too much money being in the hands of a few too many wrong people. Too much power, too much money in the hands of wrong people can create problems.
Former President Rawlings expressed concern about the infiltration of foreigners whose main interest, he noted, is to loot the country's resources.
While Ghana cannot close its doors to the rest of the world, it is important that the relevant institutions and citizens remain vigilant and ensure that every visitor to our country adheres strictly to the laws of our land. There are also too many criminal multimillionaires who are raping our continent, and Ghana is no exception.
Former President Rawlings described as unacceptable the misuse of government lands.
All kinds of funny wrong people have taken over Accra lands. It got so bad, those who have legitimately actually paid for some of the land, as far back as 1994, what then was happening to the Land Commission or to the chiefs who ensured that the process was properly carried out?
Representatives of the cadres across the country who took turns to address the gathering stressed the need to ensure unity among their ranks and continue to espouse the values of June 4.
The tenets of the revolution, probity and accountability, are today mere slogans. It is the wish of the Burahafo cadres that the tenets of the revolution, which are relevant as it was 34 years ago, is judiciously adhered to. We also ask for unity amongst the cadre fraternity.
Cadre Rawlings is accountability. Therefore, we as cadres can only sustain ourselves if we should seriously adhere to the principles of accountability. We cadres of the Volta region hereby want to acknowledge and applaud our regional minister. I am ever ready to work to sustain the party because we are not turning our back.
Other speakers at the function were the Volta regional minister Nilay Afotiagbo and the deputy minister of Women, Gender and Social Protection, Benita Okitibia.
There was a report by Yaya Kwamwa.
Today marks exactly 34 years that junior officers of the military, led by Flight Lieutenant J.J. Rawlings, toppled the then Supreme Military Council under the leadership of General F.W.K. Ekufu. The junior officers embarked on a house cleaning exercise against corruption that became known as the June 4 Revolution. Brighton Trauma takes us down memory lane.
Captain Batijan! Major Mansa Poku of Mota, Captain Hopenbauer, Captain Kwanza of 2 Brigade, Captain Kwashiga, Sergeant Alan Cash. I say again, let no man attempt to run away. If not, there will be further bloodshed. It is not necessary.
That was Flight Lieutenant Jerry John Rawlings giving a roll call of officers that took part in a coup that unseated the Supreme Military Council led by General F.W.K. Akufu. General Akufu had earlier removed General Kutu Echampo from office in a palace coup, and his SMC2 was preparing to return the country to civilian rule. Exactly 34 years ago, a group of junior officers led by then Captain Boatijan toppled the Akufu Supreme Military Council. At that time, a young Flight Lieutenant General Rawlings and a handful of other ranks of Air Force were being held in detention for their role in a failed mutiny on May 15, 1979. Ironically, it was their trial that gathered the momentum and inspiration for junior officers to plan another mutiny. On that fateful day, Flight Lieutenant Rawlings and his group of previous mutineers, along with the arrested coup plotters, were free from their locked cells after attacks on their duty guards. Rawlings' early morning broadcast to the nation announced the overthrow of the ruling of SMC2 government by the other ranks.
Now this Flight Lieutenant Rawlings was released this morning by the ranks. I'm here under their guard. I've no choice. This is your message I have for you. We have nothing against officers. That's what they said. We want nothing but justice.
They want nothing but justice. The trial by top commissioners. Finish. We don't believe in the integrity of the absentee members. So the inaction and self-promotion must stop the senior officers. But having said, if you have no reason to fear, do not run away. Do not fall back to finish the trick. Stay put. This is all I need. Thank you.
The days and weeks following the eventful day could aptly be described as blood and thunder days of the uprising. The AFRC executed General Echampon and Major General Ukuta by firing squad, followed on June 26 by six more senior officers. 34 years on, has the idea that necessitated the intervention outlived its usefulness? Former President Rawlings, the brain behind the uprising, speaks.
For more than a decade now, Ghana appears to have been moving towards an irreversible situation down a tunnel. We are suffering the effect of a dislocation between wealth, power and authority. About too much power and too much money being in the hands of a few too many wrong people. Too much power, too much money in the hands of wrong people can create problems.
Today, as Ghanaians remember June 4, there are so many who think that the country's politicians and public office holders did not really learn any useful lessons from the house cleaning exercise. Corruption, greed, nepotism have remained serious problems in high offices, government after government.
That was a feature on June 4 by Bright in Trauma.
A political scientist at the University of Ghana, Dr. Bosman Asari, has asked the MPP to go by the rules and procedures of the party in handling Dr. Roku Brobe's issue. He said if the party feels undermined by his comments and opinions, then it is their right to call him to order. However, Dr. Asari believes Dr. Roku Brobe's stand is normal and acceptable in a democracy. He spoke to Ibrahim Kwating on Behind the News.
Almost all parties around the world have certain rules, certain principles, certain procedures they want their members to follow. So anytime some members, or let's assume some leading members of the party, they try to flout some of these rules or regulations, some parties can come very hard on them. And when we follow what Dr. Charles Rekubobi has been saying, as far as the NPP's petition is concerned, since last December till now, you realize that he has shown consistently has been opposed to the party's position. So I think that he is entitled to make his positions very clear to the party, but the party also has the right to apply the rules when they believe that it is the right thing to do. So I think going forward, the party should be able to see him as a pariah, as somebody whose activities are undermining the party. So if they want to sideline him, that's the business of the party. But I think that the party must also be very careful the way they are handling the issue.
Why would he take his own party to the cleaners at a time that the party needs him seriously to address issues that are sensitive to the fortunes of the party?
In almost all political systems, and even the parties within the countries and the individuals who support the parties, there are some people we normally describe in politics as mavericks. Mavericks are very unconventional people. When you expect all people to do a particular line, they tend to be so different. They tend to do things that are so different. In other words, these are people who always want to challenge the existing order. And I think we should see Dr. Charles Rekubobe in that light. He appears to be somebody who is opinionated. He speaks his mind. He wants to make his intentions clear to all and sundry. So I think that in spite of the fact that the party needs all of them to rally around the party flag at this time, you can still have certain individuals who may have certain reservations. And in a democracy, this is normal, it's feasible.
A political scientist at the University of Ghana, Dr. Bosman Asari, talking to Ibrahim Kwating. This is Radio Ghana News, networking all the 10 regions of Ghana. The major stories. EC says duplicate serial numbers cannot affect validity of election results. Academia challenge to make research relevant to development and policy formulation. 5.4 million children nationwide targeted for three-day polio immunization starting Thursday. Former President Rawlings decries level of greed in society as cadres mark 34 years of June 4 uprising today.
Police Intelligence and Professional Standards Bureau to investigate alleged police excesses in the arrest of 40 land guards on Switchback Road. An international criminal court insists on prosecuting Kenyan president and vice. Please stay with us.
Government is embarking on a rural fiber optic project in the Eastern Corridor. The project, which is being funded by government and Vodafone Ghana Limited, is expected to cost 37 million euros. It will also extend the fiber optic cable 60 nautical miles offshore to help in the management of Ghana's oil and gas resources. This was made known by the Minister of Communications, Dr. Edward Omane Mbuama, when he toured Vodafone head office in Accra. Roxanne Fiado has the details.
Vodafone Ghana Limited is jointly owned by the government and the Vodafone groups of companies, with Ghana having 30% shares and Vodafone 70%. The Minister, Edward Omane Mbuama, as part of his tour, visited the Network Operations Center and interacted with the workers. The head of corporate communications, Carmen Bruce Annan, said the rising incident of copper and cable theft is affecting the company as it disrupts services.
We are concerned about the rising incidence of cable theft. Cable theft very often comes with fiber cuts. We are the only network operator that has copper network around the country. So what happens when somebody cuts the cable is essentially your service is disrupted. Much as we work 24 hours a day to try to fix that, but it's not something that can be done instantaneously. And the network is across the whole country. So we have shared our concern with the minister. This is a matter of national security. It's a matter for the economy. It's a matter for healthcare, for education. If you can cut off, and we've seen this happen, Winneba, for instance, imagine that you're driving and it's at night, and between, say, Winneba and Cape Coast, there's no service. Think about it. It's dangerous.
The minister on the issue of cable theft said national security has taken the problem as a very key issue and is putting in place measures to address it.
That report was filed by Roxanne Fiado.
The chairman of the National Media Commission, Gabriel Bli Amihe, says government is the biggest stakeholder in the state-owned media and must provide adequate resources to support them to perform their duties effectively. He said this when he inaugurated the new board of directors for the Ghana News Agency in Accra. Nana Maumari and Anita Weskin have filed this report.
GNA, as a media house mandated to collect and disseminate information, has played its role to contribute to the democratic process of the country. The chairman of the National Media Commission, Cabral Blay Amihe, commended the outgoing board for its contribution to GNA and welcomed the new board. He advised the media to be careful in the dissemination of information in order not to disturb the peace the country is currently enjoying. He urged the staff of GNA to work in harmony with the new board to uplift the image of the agency.
The government is the biggest shareholder in the state media. Because the state owned media is public owned, it is the duty of the government or the state to support GNA. It is not something that they are doing to you as charity. It's not something that you should go begging them for. But for as long as this nation decides to hold on to Graphic, Times, GBC and GNA, the debate should start that government must support this state agency. We need to carefully manage how we deal with the government of the day. The second point I've tried to emphasize is the need for prudent financial management for the state-owned media for greater probity and accountability. As long as GNA remains, I think that the state has a duty to provide adequate resources for them to perform their duty.
The new board chairman of GNA, Reginald Lai, said although the work will be a challenging one, members will transform the agency to be one of the best.
That was a report by Nana Maumari and Anita Weskin.
The Seed Producers Association of Ghana, CPAG, has appealed to government to pass the seed law as a matter of urgency. Speaking to Radio Ghana, the president of the association, Patrick Apula, said developing a legislative instrument and policy guidelines to operationalize the law will address the teething challenges facing stakeholders in the agriculture sector and provide security for food production. He said the marketing of seeds to farmers is increasingly becoming a den of corruption as the marketers engage in shady deals and sell illegal seeds to the farmers. He was optimistic that the seed law would address such challenges when passed.
The acting chief director of the Ministry of Justice and Attorney General, Suleiman Ahmed, says it was realized after all paperwork had been carried out that no such payments of over 1 million euros had been made to the government of Ghana by the Bank of Austria. According to him, it was established that Mr. Woyome had no contract with the government. This observation formed part of the evidence in chief of the 8th prosecution witness, Suleiman Ahmed, in the ongoing trial of Mr. Woyome.
The Inspector General of Police has directed the Police Intelligence and Professional Standards Bureau, PIBS, to conduct a full-scale investigation into an operation carried out by the police last Friday to arrest scores of suspected land guards who brutalized innocent artisans on a piece of land off the switchback road at cantonments. This follows a video footage which depicts police excesses against the suspected land guards during the operation. The Greater Accra Regional Public Relations Officer, DSP Frimantete, tells Radio Ghana that although there is a video footage of the incident, there is the need to give a fair hearing to the other side.
The International Criminal Court has announced that Kenyan Deputy President William Ruto will go on trial for crimes against humanity in September. It also recommended parts of the trial should be held in Kenya or Tanzania. The news comes after weeks of pressure from other African states and the AU to drop the charges against Mr. Kenyatta and his deputy. Mr. Kenyatta's trial is scheduled to begin in July.
So in the news, the main points again. EC Chairman Dr. Kojo Farajan says the petitioners of the 2012 election challenge at the Supreme Court have no basis for claiming that duplicate serial numbers constituted an irregularity. Given his evidence at yesterday's hearing, Dr. Farajan said that same serial numbers in different polling stations have no effect on the validity of votes cast and declared. And the Minister of Environment, Science, Technology and Innovation, Dr. Joe Otingejay, has charged academic institutions to make research pertinent to development. Speaking at the opening of the second International Climate Change and Population Conference in Accra, Dr. Otingejay said academia has the potential to use research to influence policies. The news was presented by Samuel Essa
and Jonathan Thompson in Accra.